as we come to a conclusion of a very special season in the church calendar. We see his passion in what he has created and made. There are over 100 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy alone. There are 100 billion galaxies in the entire known universe. Maybe as many as 500 billion. So if you multiply the number of stars by galaxies at the low end, you will get 10 billion billion stars, or 10 sextillion stars in the universe. That's one followed by 22 zeros. Is God not passionate? As we think about creation, and with the psalmist, who writes in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. It stands as we think about gaining a clear picture of the God of the Bible, who is the most passionate being in the universe. It stands in great contrast to often our struggles to understand this biblical God and to see our lives connected to him and his life in the person of Jesus, that we would experience a life-changing passion in our lives. Here in America, we have a great challenge of apathy. As Cameron Rhoda writes, apathy in America is a growing plague. Whether you're an older person, whether you're a younger person, whether you're trying to raise kids, help with your grandkids, you're still in your studies, whatever stage of life that you're at, you will find yourself often struggling to find true passion in your life. Pastor Zacharias said that the older you get, the more it takes to fill your heart with wonder. And only God is big enough to do that. God alone, he writes, is the perpetual novelty, providing wonder, truth, love, and security. Our passion flows from our experience and connection and understanding of the God of the Bible. And so as you live your life, and as we experience often the hard knocks of life that often spiral us downward toward apathy and struggling to find passion in our lives, the older that we get, we would do well to be reminded that God is the most passionate being in the universe. And the question is, how do we experience that? How do we tap into that? Do we take a class? Do we sit under a tree and meditate till we find that passion? Do we get struck by a lightning bolt from heaven? Do we reach some stage of spiritual enlightenment to experience that passion that all of us are looking for? And we're reminded from the scriptures that Jesus connects us to God's passion. Jesus writes this in John 17 in his prayer, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. This is eternal life. The Bible reminds us that though we could find temporary passions in our lives, all lesser passions will eventually fade. But there is only one passion that continues to burn brighter and brighter and transforms us, and that is Jesus' passion. And here we have these disciples who were described on the road to Emmaus as downcast, as sad. Hearing rumors that Jesus was alive, but they weren't really sure. The women had come back from the tomb, share with them that he has risen. And yet, isn't it interesting that there is a depth of sadness and confusion among these two? And yet, as Jesus appeared to them, as they walked together, as the scriptures were unveiled, what did they say and what did they experience? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? When was the last time that your hearts burned with this passion? Well, it was last night. I had too much lasagna, and that was some serious burning of heart. Heartburn. Nah, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about a passion that so moves you and changes you. Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and opened up the scriptures? The question this morning that I want us to reflect on is, what sparked the passion in these two disciples that caused a kind of heartburn that was transformative and connected them to the God of this universe, who is the most passionate one of all? Well, first of all, quite simply, all they did was walk together with Jesus, putting one foot in front of the other. It wasn't anything extraordinary. The simple act of walking and spending time and doing the ordinary in life is how they began to experience this heartburn of passion that we see here described for us in Luke's gospel. All of us can simply walk and experience Jesus. Secondly, they experienced community together. I love that they weren't walking by themselves. I love the fact that they had a buddy. I love the fact that they were in such thick, tight community that the women came and shared the news that Jesus is alive. They still didn't fully understand, but you can tell that they were connected in this community, in their confusions, in their sadness, in their pain. They were connected as a family. And as soon as Jesus spoke to them, revealed himself, they ran back to the other disciples. Can you see how they were relationally connected as a family together? Experiencing the passion that God has for us in the person of Jesus is experienced in the ordinary as we spend time with him. It is experienced as we are relationally connected together in community, through thick, through thin, through the pain, through the joy, through the sadness. And thirdly, they studied the scriptures together. Could you imagine if we were a fly on the wall as they walked? I guess the wall would have to be moving with them. But as they were doing that, could you imagine the kind of Bible study that they got from Jesus? Starting from the Old Testament, going through the scriptures, how he was a fulfillment of all their hopes and longings. He was the promised Messiah. And it was looking at the scriptures together that sparked this passion. Did not our hearts burn? And it was finally, as they got together to their destination, Jesus pretending that he was going to move on, they begged him, please stay with us. And when they broke bread together, their eyes were opened and they realized they were with Jesus. Walking with Jesus, being together in community, studying together the scriptures, and breaking bread together are the ways in which these disciples met the Lord, the risen Christ, and their hearts burned with the passion that only God can bring. Jesus reminds us in John 5:39, you diligently study the scriptures because you think by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Richard Foster writes, we come to the scriptures to be changed, not amass information. We live in a time where to be spiritual is cool, and where religious pluralism becomes more and more the standard by which people, even confessing Christians, understand the Holy Scriptures. Half of all Americans see the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon as three different expressions of the same truth. That is a kind of confusion that we live in. Passion is found in a person, the person of Jesus. It is not in a cause or the results of what you are doing. It is not feelings or your circumstances. It is a person. It was the Apostle Paul who wrote, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is a man of many passions and gifts, a scholar, a God-fearing Jew living between different cultures, a Hebrew and a citizen of Rome. He had many, many passions. He was successful. He was religious. He was respected, but still did not know the God of passion. It was not until he met Jesus that he began to finally understand who this God of the Bible really is. And we are reminded that the gospel takes all the loves of our lives, our many passions, and unites them under one common great passion, and that is Christ. Whose pastor and theologian, Jonathan Edwards, whom God used powerfully, even in these parts in the 1700s, he wrote, the enjoyment of God is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. Fathers and mothers, husbands, wives, or children, or the company of earthly friends are but shadows. But God is the substance. These are but scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but streams, but God is the ocean. So well put, as we begin to think about how do we experience passion in our lives. It was Pastor Tim Keller, he wrote, if anything but God is more important to you, you have a problem. Money, career, love, for a period of time, you may feel you have something to live for, but if you actually get the thing you have been seeking, you suddenly realize that it's not big enough for your soul. It doesn't produce its own light. That's why apathy exists. That's why we struggle so often to really experience this passion in life, because we are trying to find it in things whose passions will fade away. But when people meet the God of the Scriptures, they experience a kind of life-transforming passion that is absolutely contagious. It wasn't all the times that my parents forced me to go to church when I was younger where I actually hid inside the station wagon. Do you guys remember those things? Station wagon, so that I could run away from church and not go to Sunday school. It wasn't when they forced me to go to church all those years growing up, but even today in his mid-80s, when I was home just 2 weeks ago, seeing him still in his study, studying the scriptures in Spanish, English, Korean, and Greek. A man in his 80s whose eyesight's starting to get really, really bad, still is in love with his God. And I caught him again, studying the Bible. Dad, let's watch some Netflix together. I gotta study my Bible. I'll get back to you in a little bit. Passion, when it's connected to the person of God in Jesus, is absolutely contagious. Passion begets passion. And it is my mother whose cries in Korean, Juyo, 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 which means Lord, 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 help my kids know you, Jesus, when they grow up and serve you with all their hearts. My mom would pray when my friends were over. They didn't know what that horrendous sound was because they couldn't understand her Korean. They thought our cat was dying. I kid you not. Is that your cat dying? No, that's my mom praying. She's praying Korean. Oh, okay. And it was my old youth pastor who would preach every Sunday as if it was his last sermon on earth, with a passion and love that I still can feel in my heart so many decades later today. We lost, I'll end with this, a great missionary and follower of Jesus, a man named George Verwer, this past Friday. If you don't know who he is the founder and leader of OM, Operation Mobilization. If you don't know what that is, you've probably heard of the mercy ships that he purchased, converted to floating hospital ships, travel all over the world to see thousands of people in the worst possible conditions in underserved areas, providing free medical care and sharing the scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ. George Verwer was a man that God used to experience his passion in the gospel of Jesus and spread it to the ends of the earth. George Verwer, before he became a Christ follower, was a very athletic young boy, was in the Boy Scouts. And in a beautiful summary of his life in Christianity Today, shared that he always chased the pretty girls and got into a lot of trouble. He lit fires. He was involved in all sorts of shenanigans as a young person before he knew Jesus, and even broke into a neighbor's home in Bergen County, New Jersey. It was finally a woman, Dorothea Clapp, began to pray for George Verwer that he would come to know Jesus. She put him on her Holy Spirit hit list. She began to mail him the Gospel of John. Really did nothing for him. But 3 years later, a preacher named Billy Graham was preaching in Madison Square Garden in 1955, March 5th, and for some reason he felt compelled to go there, took a bunch of his friends, showed up, and committed his life to Christ. He's described like this. If we can put that on the screen. His one all-consuming passion in life has been to be a channel whereby people would become long-term friends of Jesus. His comfort zone is breaking out of his comfort zone. He only really feels secure when he's risking it all for Jesus. He said, God broke my heart. I saw things in my heart that were not right. I knew I had to respond. I must be willing to take risks for the kingdom of God. George Verwer knew God was a God of second and third chances because he said he was a perpetual backslider. And he wrote a book based on that theology called Messiology, how Christ uses people who mess up their lives to bring a spiritual passion that can change the world with the gospel. George Verwer would go on to become the leader of OM, one of the largest mission organizations of the 20th century, sending thousands and thousands of people to the mission fields all over the world. Today, there are over 3,300 adult workers in 134 countries, and an estimated 300 missionary agencies came out under his influence of OM, preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. Meeting the God of passion in the person of Jesus is so transformative that it can touch the lives of men, women, and children for the generations to come. George Verwer will be greatly, greatly missed in not only mission circles, but the many who have come to know Christ all over the world because of his passion for Jesus. I end with this reminder from Dallas Willard as we draw to an end of our time together. When we call men and women to life in Christ Jesus, we are offering them the greatest opportunity of their lives, the opportunity of a vivid companionship with him, in which they learn to be like him and live as he lived. This is that transforming friendship. As we now leave Holy Week and Lent and head towards summer, may you ask yourself, may I ask myself, what is my one great passion? And if it is Jesus, that passion will continue to grow and transform and change the lives of people everywhere. This is what I wanted to share with each and every one of us as we come to an end of a very special season of our lives and in this calendar. What is your one great passion? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity you've given for all of us to be together the week after Easter, after such a wonderful and powerful opportunity for Christians all over the world to be reminded of our risen Lord. I pray, Father, that as we consider our lives, no matter how young or old that we are, God, we so long to experience a kind of passion that changes our lives. And I pray, Father, that as we consider the God of the Bible, who is the most passionate being in all the universe, I pray that with intentionality, with planning, and with purpose, that we would daily connect with the God of this passion in the person of Jesus. And so we thank you for this reminder today. We pray that as you continue to reveal yourself to us in the ordinariness of life, in the context of community, friendship, and relationships, in the context of studying your word, and opportunities to break bread together, I pray that you would continue to burn our hearts with the passion of God. Amen.